The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we approach this text this morning, it's useful for us today to highlight a couple of the words that we find in this text and the word pictures that are in here. Now, I'm not going to use this outlining of these words as a sermon outline, but I thought, you know, I want there to be thoughts floating around in our heads, pictures floating around in our heads as we address this text. You know, first, Martha is burdened with several things. Now, although we're not told what these several things are, anybody who's hosted a meal, right? It's your turn for Thanksgiving. It's your turn for Christmas. You're having your kids' in-laws over to your house for the first time. I mean, you pick it. Whatever it is, you're hosting and you care about the people you're hosting for, and you care about the meal and the presentation that you have and that you give. So we know what Martha's going through. And Martha is not disrespecting Jesus in any way, shape, or form. She is trying to show her best hospitality to him. You know, in the Old Testament reading, Abram, he shows hospitality to the Lord. Martha is showing hospitality to the Lord. And so that was very, very important. But as she's doing this, Luke uses the word, the Greek word, periaspato. One commentator defined the word as being dragged around. And as you think about that, maybe you might want to think about, have you ever walked a really energetic, large dog? Okay? And you've got, you know, and you ask the question, you've seen somebody walking a dog like that down the street, and what question do you ask? Like, who's walking who? You know, so this, you get this image in our head. Martha is being yanked around from this side and then over to this side, and then she's over here, and just mentally and emotionally, she's just back and forth. So that's kind of the picture that this word is describing. One commentator also described the idea, this word, as one of being troubled and tossed about. Now, what does that make you think of? And I say, what does that make you think of? And I want to add the words from the Bible. Because the second I say tossed about, I got a shiny penny. Well, I don't have a shiny penny in my pocket, but I can find a shiny penny that is going to bet as somebody out there singing the Gilligan's Island theme song in their head. Okay? So think about from the Bible. Tossed about. Right? It would be close. It would remind us of the account of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Right? Do you remember that account of the storm on the Sea of Galilee? The boat was being tossed about. The waves were breaking over the top of the boat. The disciples wake Jesus, who's asleep in the back of the boat. And he says, or they say to him, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" Isn't that what Martha says? She's being tossed about. And she goes to Jesus and she says, "Don't you care?" In both cases, the disciples are overwhelmed. They are concerned that Jesus doesn't care about them. You know, I also thought about Jesus' encounter with the demon-possessed man. There were many demons. And I remember, what is your name? Legion, for we are many. And there's many demons in this man, and there's one Jesus. There are many distractions and detractors from Jesus, but there is only one Jesus. Isn't that what Martha is going through? There are many things distracting Martha, but one Jesus. And I'm not equating Martha's anxieties and troubles to the demon-possessed man. It's just that in both instances, there was a lot of something. One Jesus. It's also worth noting that in Luke's gospel, there are three people who are mentioned as sitting at Jesus' feet. There is the sinful woman who anoints Jesus' feet. Remember that with her hair? Then there is the demon-possessed man. Once he is delivered from his demonic possession, he is found to be seated at the feet of Jesus. And now we find Mary seated at Jesus' feet. These individuals are seated at Jesus' feet, which means they're intently listening and paying attention to what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is teaching. They're listening to Jesus as a disciple of his, and they're said to have kept on listening. So we're getting this word picture developed for us. We have people who care deeply about Jesus in Mary and Martha. They're expressing it in different ways, but they both care about Jesus. Both of them are waiting to honor Jesus, to attend to Jesus. So it's not a matter of good person, bad person. It's not that at all. It's more an issue of the order in which things come. Martha is at this moment majoring in the minors. She's being distracted by her anxieties and her troubles. Mary is paying attention to the major issue, the Word of God. And she will get up and work later when Jesus is done teaching. Now, each and every one of us this morning here are hearers of Jesus. You're all seated at Jesus' feet, so to speak. We all care deeply about what Jesus has to say. Yet at the same time, we're tossed to and fro. To and fro. We're yanked about by our troubles, just like being walked by that large dog on a chain. I'm even willing to bet and guess that when it comes to our cares and anxieties, most of us have sat here in our pews. I've been here in the middle of the week at the altar rail praying. And I bet we've all at one time or another wondered whether or not Jesus cares. I think we have done that. Have you even thought about that? It's one of those things we need to ponder from time to time. Now, I was pondering that. I was thinking about that. And, you know, we are blessed to have a crucifix here on our altar. Not just a cross, not that there's anything wrong with just a cross, but we have a corpus, a body hanging from the cross that is placed on the altar of this congregation. We see Jesus. A crown of thorns. Behold your King. We see his fingers, his hands raised up in the form and shape of a blessing. We see nails through his hands and his feet, so that they may look upon him whom they have pierced. And I was a bit sad as I thought about this, because sometimes the attitude of my prayers, if not the actual words of my prayers, are asking Jesus whether or not he cares. He's nailed to the cross for me. He's nailed to the cross for you. And we ask if he cares. How familiar we are with the crucifixion. So familiar with it. So much so that we look past it and by it and we wonder, of course he cares. He died for you. He did that for you. He died for my sins. He rose again as a victor over death in the grave. In baptism, he gives me his own righteousness. And here I sit, forgetting that he cares. Where are we sitting? This whole church is shaped like a cross. Right down the center aisle, cross beam over here, the top of the cross right here. It's in the floor plan. And every one of us are seated at the feet of Christ. We're listening to what he has to say to us. But even as we do, and try as we might, and we all try hard, the cares of the world grab hold of us. They yank us to and fro. The anxieties of the world creep in. And what are those anxieties? They're all the things that rob you of your sleep. That conspire against a good night's sleep. Why do I fall asleep on the couch every night? Because I can distract my brain with a YouTube video and I can fall asleep to it. But if I go lay down on my bed and I turn the lights out, it just spins and spins and spins and it won't shut off. At least if I fall asleep on the couch watching something, I can wake up at 2 a.m. and finally make my way to my bed. Let me ask you this. Did you think your anxieties for your children would lessen as they reached adulthood? I did. I was wrong. You could add to that congregational business, congregational life, your lives, your health, your emotional and spiritual well-being. It's all in here. What are the things that distract you while you're seated here at the feet of Jesus? Yeah. Each and every one of us can be distracted. And when we're distracted like that, Jesus doesn't come to us and flog us. Instead, he approaches us in the same way he approaches Martha. He approaches her in love and compassion. He's honest with Martha. And he's honest with each and every one of us. Martha was burdened with one type of serving Jesus, and Mary was absorbed with another type of hospitality towards Jesus. And Jesus gently admonishes Martha concerning where her priorities are placed. And he states his preference. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good portion, and that won't be taken from her. The whole point of this interaction being recorded for us is that we are reminded not to be so distracted and concerned about life's anxieties, or quite frankly, don't get so distracted even by serving Jesus in the church that you forget to hear his word and you forget to take it to heart. Remember, we are here this morning seated at the feet of Jesus to hear his word from him. And so, yeah, this morning, right here, right now, this is the best place for you to be. So remember, first things first, receive the good gifts of God. Baptism, confession and absolution, forgiveness and strength for living out the Christian life. Strength given through the sacrament of the altar. The true body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Sit at Jesus' feet and receive from him. For to receive from Jesus is the highest form of worship. It's why we call it the divine service. It's not the people's service. It's divine. It's God serving you. And your highest form of worship of Jesus is to receive what he has to give you. Let us be here in the stillness, in the stillness of listening to Jesus, and then rise to serve him in the capacity that he has equipped you to serve. Be served by Jesus, and then rise to serve him. That is the proper order. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds, through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.